This is how I want to start. So it's 11 o'clock, and I think I can end at 12:15. Is that all right? that feels like I got a lot of time this morning. So Dr. Anderson is prescribing a refill of vitamin G. All right? Now, normally when you have a prescription is for a condition. Everybody say condition. And so what's the condition? Y'all just go with me this morning, because the condition, it may sound like something, but it's, you probably never heard of this before. Everybody say lactose. I know it sounds like I'm saying lactose, but I'm saying lactose. Everybody say lactose tolerant. So I am prescribing vitamin G, which stands for gratitude. Everybody say gratitude. Anybody grateful this morning? So gratitude has two T's, so I'm grateful twice this morning. Amen. And I know Thursday our plate, ain't that much Thanksgiving in the world on that plate you had. ain't that much thankfulness Thursday, but I know those plates were piled up wherever you were. And but that's the gratitude we feel in our heart. But this prescription is for the condition number one, lactose tolerant, and then number two, which we'll cover next week, which is 14-kulosis. I know you never heard of this. Everybody say 14-kulosis. Aunt Nene, you probably don't have a prescription for 14-kulosis, but I do. Amen? 14-kulosis is what I'm going to cover next week. All right, I'm coming in on the middle of this Thanksgiving series, but if I may, guys, if you allow me to just spill over until the Christmas season, Israel is real. It's going to carry over into December. Born is the king of what? So we're definitely going to tackle Israel is real through this Christmas lens. Amen. This Christmas lens. But I want to do 2 weeks of Thanksgiving and then slip into this Christmas spirit. Is that all right? I may even play a Christmas song the third Sunday, the third time I'm here. All right. So I'll take requests. Just slip a note, and I'll play all your Christmas favorites. Amen? All right, so got that out the way. So Psalm 118 is what we're going to lift. This is our model scripture for the month. Have y'all been enjoying the teachings this month? They've been powerful, right? All the object lessons. Psalm 118, this is not new to us in the room, but I want to just focus on let, all right? One of our conditions, the reason why I'm prescribing vitamin G. Psalm 118, verse 1. Let's read it together. Ready, set, go. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. Now, guys, this is not the first time. I'm not sure if one of our other teachers lifted this. This is not the first time that this group was addressed in God's word, admonishing them to do something. Everybody say let. And Psalm 115, it almost has the same spirit. Addressing these three groups of individuals or people, group of people. It says in Psalm 115, 9, it says, O Israel, do what? Trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Now it says, O house of Aaron, do what? Trust in the Lord. It sounds like Psalm 118 a little bit, right? And at least it's singling out these three groups, all right? Verse number 11, you who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Why so much repetition? Everybody say why. Why are we over and over and over, at least twice, feel the need to address these group of individuals, or these group, not in all individuals, but individuals, all right? Why so much repetition? Why so much repetition to do something that should be obvious, should be an obvious response, right? Like in this room, if I say God is good, you're going to say? And all the time? Isn't it easy to see that God is good? It should be easy. Shouldn't it be easy for Israel to trust God? They saw him do so much with their own eyes. Amen. But at the beginning of the passage in Psalm 115 and Psalm 18, in Psalm 118 more specifically, it says let. Everybody say let. The lactose condition I am prescribing vitamin G for seems to me, it feels like a distraction. Everybody say distraction. Because when I say let, everybody say let. It's almost like this. I would come in the house of Judah if somebody unlocked the door and let me in. All right, so it seems like let is almost like a stronghold. It's almost like let me like in a relationship, let me love you. Have you ever heard somebody say that? Or let me cook for you. Or let me wash your car. Amen. Anybody car needs washing like mine? Yeah, let me wash your car. In other words, it's permission. Let to me, everybody say let. Let feels like a distraction. It feels like a condition of almost like a stronghold. All right. Let is found in the Bible over 1,000 times. So if you, one of my finds says it's found in God's word about 1,511 times. Let. We used to sing a song at Anderson University. Let. If you ever heard of sing that, it said, let there be light. That's in God's word. Y'all remember reading that, right? Finish this. Let the weak say, amen. Let everything that has, imagine if we took the let out and say, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. It just seems like it should be innate. It should be automatic. Amen. But why so many lets in God's word? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, what's the rest of it? Be acceptable in your sight. There's more. I know there's more. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We used to say that at First Baptist Church of Fair Forest. God said, now this is God talking. He said, let there be light. This is the all-powerful God saying let. All right? And so I am seeing let here in Psalm 118 as a distraction, as I see let Israel say, let the house of Aaron say, let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. I see let as doubt. I see let as irreverent babble. Y'all know what that means, right? Irreverent babble. Somebody just hot air. Just saying nothing. They saying a lot, but they saying nothing. They saying a lot of nothing. All right? I see let as complaining. That's why this is a refill of vitamin G. Amen. Because G stands for what? Gratitude. Amen. We are some blessed people in this room. Amen. So sometimes we need a reminder of getting our vitamin G and be grateful. Amen. I see let as ungratefulness. Let seems like it's something we have to get over or get past to even give God praise and even worship God. It should be easy to just wake up in the morning. Now, maybe I'm being honest, maybe I'm being transparent, but I go a lot of days and I wake up and I just go. Amen. Don't y'all judge me in your head. Don't we do that? We just wake up and go. Amen. We just like, and I'm like, at the end of the day, I am trying to make up for what I didn't do in the morning, which is give God glory. It should be automatic, but let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let seems like it's a distraction. It distracts us from giving thanks and worshiping the true God. Let to me is old habits. Let the weak say, or let Israel say, What does Israel have to get over just to say that his mercy endures or his love endures forever? What do we have to get over just to give God praise? Let Alphaeus praise the Lord. It's easy. Now, the breath part, y'all obviously see I'm breathing, right? That's easy. This right here is a form of worship. That's easy. But getting over the let, in my opinion, is the hard part. Because let equals doubt, if let equals complaining, I got to get over doubt. I got to get over ungratefulness. I got to get over my old habits. I have to get over even irreverent babble, which is philosophies or schools of thoughts that try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, which kind of trips Alphaeus up. Have one conversation with the unbeliever, and now you're like, all right, I guess I'm going to look crazy like my cousin said, worshiping the one true living God. Let Alphaeus praise God. Now I'm thinking, my cousin just told me I'm crazy for worshiping a God I can't see. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. My uncles think I'm crazy because, now this is just an example. This is an example. Whoever it is, unbelievers, atheists, agnostic, whoever, think we are crazy for worshiping a God we can't see. You can't prove there's a God. Can you prove there's a God? How well can you prove that God is good? So the Bible says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is what? For he is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. I think I said this last year. How can you be an unbeliever and be thankful? Who are you going to be thankful to? How can you trust? In other words, if you're an atheist and you're thankful, what are you putting your trust in? What are you being thankful in? I'm just so thankful. Thankful in what? In trees? Thankful in nature? Thankful in the air? So every act of gratitude, acts of gratitude are not directed towards Yahweh. It's not directed towards God. All humans have not bought into God is good. Everybody say God is good. Or even know that there is a God. Or at least they have doubts. They're not 100 about God being the one and only true and living God. So I got a question for you guys. We believe that there's a God in this room. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is. Amen. He is good, right? But can you defend that God is good? Can you defend it? How you know God is good? How can you say that God is good? How can you say good is God? Like, where are you getting that from? How can you support that? What do you have inside of you that can support that God is good or good is God? 43% of millennials don't know, don't care, don't believe God exists, according to one study. That's almost half of us, or my age group. I'm an older millennial. I married not a baby boomer. I married why? What are you, baby? She just said. I ain't making no more banana pudding for you. She made a mean banana pudding, and it was by accident. You know you got it when you make a mean banana pudding by accident. You say, you deep in the hole right now. In other words, 43% of millennials don't know, don't care, don't believe God exists. Millennials have gone farther in cutting ties with traditional Christian views and normative biblical teachings. On spiritual matters, Americans younger than 55 are more likely to distrust the Bible and to believe God is uninvolved in our everyday living. Number three, 1 in 6 Gen Z adults identify as LGBT, the highest percentage of any generation in history. Number four, this radical spiritual revolution, it's like this revolt. It's a revolt against the immaterial. It's a revolt or this deny that there's a realm that we don't see that's responsible for what we see. And I do feel that. I don't know about you guys, but if you travel on social media, you will see that there's this revolt against the spiritual, religious things of God. Are y'all seeing that? It's like this spiritual revolt, the spiritual revolution. And it has created a generation seeking a reimagined world without God. The Bible or churches. The next generation, according to this, don't want God, the Bible, or church. So where are we going to be in 50 years with a generation that wants nothing to do with God, the Bible, or the church? So you see how, like even in 2023, House of Judah's mission, this should probably be on our list to help the next generation believe. Amen. And even defend why they believe. So every time Sunday school is going on downstairs, it's really important. I mean, we may overhear them having a good time. Yeah, we got that. But then we want to make sure they also have something in their hearts, in their mind, in their soul. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. So we don't need a faithless generation in the next 50 years. I want my doctor to have a lot of faith. Amen. I want my chiropractor to have faith. Amen. Because one wrong move. Amen. True story, my chiropractor, he actually prays before he cracks me. And that's so comforting. I don't know if he's praying, Lord, forgive me if I don't do it right. Or, Lord, thank you for giving me the skill to heal this man with my hands. He's really good. Amen. I need to go see him before the year is out. Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53:1 says, it's twice. Twice in God's word it says, only fools say in their hearts, there is no God. They are corrupt and their actions are what? Evil. Not one of them does good. That's kind of strong, right? I'm glad God said it. It's in his word, and Alfie didn't say that, because this would get me canceled in 2022. Amen. For me to say, if you don't believe that there's a God, then you are evil, that's a strong statement. But you know why this is even lifted, right? Because anything that's not good is what? Bad. Amen. And we learn that. Nobody really even have to teach us this. It's like it's built on the inside of us. Amen. And so the Bible talks about this. People actually just ignore it. They ignore morals. They reject good. Amen. And when you reject good, you invite what? You invite evil. Like instantly, when you reject good or the things of God, you invite evil. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is what? What if you don't believe he is good? Many reject God as good with these objections. All right, y'all ready? All right, some objections are, why, y'all have heard me say this before, I want to lift this again. Why create a world with evil and not stop it? So first of all, y'all just think with me. Somebody is saying, House of Judah, you believe a God that created a world with evil, and your God is good, but he's not stopping evil. What do you got to say? What do we have to say? First of all, do y'all not even see what's going on here? You have somebody is actually making a judgment call about something like he or she is God. That makes sense. So you're telling me that my God is not good. So now you are now putting yourself in a position to say what is good and what is not good. You got it. When people are making these claims about us and about what we do, you just got to let them talk a little bit and listen for the irreverent babbles. Why create a world with evil and not stop it? So this is what I would say. Let's say if God did put a stop to evil tonight, at midnight tonight, God is really going to put a stop to evil and all evil things. My question is, would any of us in this room be here? If God kill everything, if he puts a stop to evil, if I give you what you want and God stops all evil, none of us would be here at midnight tonight. If that's really what you want, that makes sense. Why would your good God, everybody say good God? Why would he sanction killing in the Bible? Y'all know God did command Israel, a group of people, to kill another group of people so they could occupy the land. In other words, it's almost like God had made me a promise. He's made the house of Judah a promise, but a part of that promise, we have to kill some other people to access that promise. Y'all know that's Bible, right? Do y'all not see that? Y'all okay? We all right? We're just Sunday school this morning. Y'all can talk back. Y'all know that's in the Bible, right? God told a group to kill another group so you can get your promise. You're going to get your promise, but you got to kill this group to get your promise. Now you see why the third party has a problem with it, right? Because it sounds bad, right? It sounds terrible, right? And this is the passage they are referencing. Deuteronomy, it's already there. Either that was quick or you was ahead of me. All right. Deuteronomy 20 says, read this with me. But as for the towns of the peoples that the Lord your God is giving you as inheritance, you must not let anything that breathes remain alive. You shall annihilate them. Everybody say annihilate. That's what Clemson was supposed to do to Carolina yesterday, and they didn't do it. They left some points on the board. Everybody say they left some points on the board. Now that was actually better than I planned. I hope this comeback, that what I just said, I hope y'all are going to see that in about 20 seconds. Clemson left points on the board, but they, in their heart, they wanted to annihilate Carolina. Them, the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, just as your good God, your Lord, the Lord your God has commanded. God said, kill them. That sounds terrible, right? For the Lord is good. Well, he ain't good. Your God telling your God sanctions annihilation and genocide. This is another reference, all right? Y'all all right? Deuteronomy 18. When you have come to the land the Lord your God is giving you, the promise, you shall not learn to do like the abominations of those nations. A little Hebrew there. I can't read any of it, but it's just, you see it, right? It looks like Israel. Verse number 10, there shall not be found among you anyone who passes his son or daughter through fire, a soothsayer, a diviner of auspicious times, one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer. Leviticus 18:21. Alpheus, what does this have to do with anything? All right. Y'all stay with me. Y'all all right? Leviticus 18:21. First of all, God promised Israel this land. You got Israel, you got this land. This is what's happening in this land. This is a part of the promise. All of this nonsense. Amen. Some things we wouldn't pray for if we knew the nonsense that would come with it. Amen. I want a new wife. Did you take care of your first one? Uh-oh. I want a new car, but did you take care of your first one? Amen. You really want a $900 car payment? But this is my promise. This is my blessing. I'm getting off track a little bit, but this is what's going on in this land. Nonsense. Leviticus 18 is describing what's going on in this land. God is saying, Israel, do not act like these people. They are doing this. Do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech, for you must not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Let me explain Molech real quick. I'm trying not to be too graphic, but this is terrible. When I tell you this is terrible, guys, this is terrible, terrible, terrible. Molech was like this idol, this god, this physical being, where Molech had hands. And so these hands were positioned kind of like this. So we just read here that children were sacrificed to Molech. How? So imagine maybe like a furnace is inside this looking being that's not only ugly, it's spooky, it's evil looking. I don't know if it's a mix between an animal and the devil. I don't know what's going on with this, some pictures I've seen. And it heats up on the inside and the hands heat up. Anybody ever cooked? And if you know the handle of the pot, it heats up when it touches the. Yeah, have you ever touched it? And what happened? You said some words, didn't you? You didn't say thank you, Jesus. just to bring it home. So you know how if something is made of something that can heat up, you know, heat passes through. It is so hot that when when the Canaanites, they would take their kids, they would take these kids, these children, these babies, and they would basically put them on the Molech god. And this is so hot that when they put the kids on the hands, it starts to sizzle because it's so hot. And these kids are now being sacrificed. And one description, so this is abortion on a whole nother level. All right, this is the kid that we can see on this. And the word says, you don't be sacrificing your kids to Molech, for you must not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. And actually, I heard a description of this sacrifice where they would play music. And they would beat these drums so loud, and the purpose of beating the music and playing the music and beating the drums so loud so the parents of the kids wouldn't hear the screams of the kids. 2 Chronicles 33:6 says, and he passed his sons through the fire in the valley of Ben Hinnom. He practiced soothsaying, divination, and sorcery, and he consulted necromancers and those who divine by the Jedoa bone. That sounds very, very witchy. He did much that was evil in the eyes of the Lord to provoke him. Who did? Manasseh, King Manasseh. I think he reigned when he started reigning when he was 12. I stand corrected, but he was a young, evil king. A young, evil king. Not only is he promoting the practice of sacrificing kids to this God, you got all other evil stuff going on. And so God don't like evil. Now, God is good, but God is also just. What do you think a good response should be to saving these kids? What's a good response? A good response is what we read in Deuteronomy 20. If you want to go back there, sweets. A good response is God saying, but as for the towns of these peoples. Now, these peoples have a different context now, right? These peoples are the peoples that are sacrificing these kids to the Molech God. So for as the towns of these people that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, you must not let anything that breathes remain alive. Y'all see now with context, you're like, oh yeah, go get them, kill them all. Y'all killing them babies, kill them, shoot them with your ARs or your knives, whatever you, you shall annihilate. Everybody say annihilate. So with that context, it's almost like this. Do you have, if you have a problem with God commanding Israel to kill the Canaanites for doing this, these detestable things, but you're okay with abortion? Do y'all not see the contradiction? Do y'all see the double standard? I know I'm hitting it, but y'all see the double standard here? Like, what's happening here when folks are really just playing God? They're playing God. And plus, just like Clemson left points on the board, Israel actually didn't kill everybody. So it's like people trying to get us caught up in this web of false. First of all, Israel didn't even kill everybody. Because Psalm 106 says, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them. They didn't even kill everybody. They left points on the board, Clemson. But were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. Now we're in trouble. So I'm in my promised land, and now I am, what's happening here? What they are doing is going to start to rub off on me. God said, kill them, because he know you don't need to. Listen, Linda. You don't need to be doing that. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Everybody say, be obedient. Be obedient. When God tell you to do something, everybody say, do it. It's a reason. The points on the board. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. Verse 38, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. So hopefully this gives you context on now how we even get here. Somebody said God is not good because he sanctioned killing. You know, your God said to kill the people, and that's not justified. But it is justified. Amen. First of all, to me, that's not killing. That's not murder. That's a rescue plan. Everybody say rescue plan. So we got to be careful with letting humans or a created being determine what is good. So people are suggesting a standard of their own when they say God is not good and start to list a bunch of reasons. God is not good because of this, 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 this. Well, where are you getting this being the standard? Like, who are you to say this is what's acceptable and this is not acceptable? Because moral terms belong to God. Everybody say morals. Everybody say morality belongs to God. Everybody say moral terms belong to God. So if you hear an unbeliever say something, it should be better. That belongs to God. If you hear an unbeliever say this is right, you'd be like, wait. Where are you getting right from? Everybody say, where are you getting right from? Hope I'm not boring you guys. Everybody say, where are you getting it from? When you hear somebody say that's wrong, you're going to say, where are you getting it from? When you hear somebody say that's just, you got to say, where are you getting that from? If you hear somebody say that this should be, that belongs to God, because moral terms belong to who? Belongs to God. Because if God is not responsible for good, who's responsible for good? Who's responsible for good? I know you're thinking, I see you thinking, who's responsible for good? Who's responsible for good? And if somebody else is responsible for good that's not God, how can we trust it? And so, not to bore you guys, we know evolution can actually support morality. I won't go back through that, but how can evolution support morality? Let's end on this. We know things are bad because of a good God. I'll ask you this again. Can you defend God is good or God as good? That's the question I want to leave with you guys. Can y'all defend that? Can you defend it? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is what? Can you defend it? So don't let these distractions, which is, again, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So let is a distraction, all right? So we got to make sure that we deal with these distractions, even if you're this distraction. All right, the distractions that they had 2,000 years ago still exist today in 2022. So we got to get past these distractions. Let everything, let could be doubt, let could be, again, I really want to focus on, encourage us to see let as these, I really want us to dig in on why we believe what we believe, even in worship, and really confront and dig and study and look into God's word and really, really go deeper in God's word. Is that fair? Because it all makes sense when you're at the barbershop. It all makes sense when you're at Thanksgiving talking to your cousin. It all makes sense when you're on social media and you see what you see on TikTok. Y'all stand up. That'll signify that I need to really wrap it up. So when you get your vitamin G out, definitely it stands for good. It could stand for gratitude. It could stand for God. Let's let this thing remind us that we need to study. The Bible says, ye shall what? Know the truth, and the truth will set you free or make you free. We got to know the truth. Psalm 100 says we need to give thanks to him and praise his name. It says that we should know that the Lord is God. Everybody say, we got to know. We got to know that the Lord is God. Everybody say, we got to know. God is God. Do we know God is God intellectually? From an educational standpoint, the next generation wants to know A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. If you try to skip A to Z and just say God, God is God, they ain't buying it. They are not going to buy it. Do y'all know how uncomfortable it is to look in God's word and initially see that God said, kill him? And then if I walked away from that text and then somebody else says, come over here where the truth is, and I saw this text, and it's like they have a case against our God not being good. Y'all see how I could potentially be swayed over to another belief system by not studying? People are leaving the church and they're leaving the faith. I mean, they're not just leaving the church, they're just leaving it all. Because I actually prefer to be downstairs going through this and not like up here like this. I prefer to be downstairs in one of those Sunday school rooms and we talk this thing out. Amen. That's where the magic happens. Amen. When we can go to your house and eat banana pudding and macaroni and cheese and talk this out. And then we leave there full of God's word and full of mac and cheese. Amen. I mean, that's what, more of that would be nice. Amen. A lot of that would be nice as a husband and wife, as friends, as a church family. Let's dig into God's word like that, where we are sure and becoming more and more sure and can defend what we believe. God is good, but know that the Lord is good. Amen. Y'all enjoyed that teaching today? Took a little turn. I skipped a few slides. But did you guys learn something? Were you encouraged, motivated? Motivated? Amen. Amen. Lift your hands and let's receive encouragement from God's Spirit. It's a lot to dig in these 66 books of the Bible. But I am telling you that Israel is real. And these things really did happen for a reason. Nothing fake about God. He is real. He can be supported intellectually and in the spirit. But I do like what Grandma say, God is real, and yes, God is real. He is real in my soul. So if you know God is real in your soul, can you just give God just a 20, 30 second, he's real in my soul worship? Just thank you, Jesus, for being real in my soul. Thank you, God, for being real in my soul. God, we don't know everything, but we know you who knows everything.